Hey,
Oh.
so you're one of them transgenders? Does that mean you still have it?
Yeah, I still got it. Now, do you still have it?
You got it?
I like to turn off lights.
Can
Oh,
I
I
got
see
it.
it?
You
Can I
got
touch it?
it.
I wanna wrap my lips around it.
Yep.
Oh,
Is this
Mika, did you get any of
recording?
that?
Sorry. Yeah, I got all of that.
Oh,
Yeah.
I've seen if Mika did. Mika's
Oh,
no.
okay.
Mika
Oh, no,
Mika
I
doesn't.
got it.
Whenever I tell jokes, Mika doesn't. Mika hates my jokes, so she will deadpan just not, like I'll tell like why don't you ever see elephants hiding in trees? Because they're really good at it. Mika's just fucking deadpan.
Wait,
Yeah.
what?
Mika did tell me that I need to start laughing into the microphone so that people on the recordings can hear that I'm actually laughing and not a angry person like I don't like everybody else thinks I am.
Right.
What's your ideal response to like, you don't have Christmas crackers, do you? Christmas crackers? Have you
We
heard
have
of
a lot of white
them?
people walking around.
Are
Oh
those
yeah, I mean
Santa?
yeah, I
Santa's a
think it's a
Christmas
British
cracker.
thing,
I
but you
don't think
get
so.
jokes of that caliber in them. They're like a little thing you sort of like
Oh yeah.
crack
No, we have those. Yeah. Yeah, you
Oh.
pop them and they have a little like they have a little joke or they have a little like toy in there. I
Yeah.
don't know why I made a gun.
Just a little Second Amendment toy.
Yeah.
Second Amendment toy.
In America, yeah, everybody gets a little copy of the Constitution and a gun.
And a pair of bare arms on the wall.
Yeah.
Just a screwdriver, by the way, not a dildo.
Mean,
I
Mika,
know,
you know what
sure,
they
I'm
always
getting
say,
brave.
everything's a dildo if you try hard enough.
Yeah, or you're brave enough.
So, Lucy, is there anything you want us to bring up? Like, do you have any
Oh, by the way,
projects
hi, Lucy. I'm
Oh.
Mika. Hi, hi,
No.
nice to
Hi,
meet
I'm
you.
Lucy. Hi, you too.
My name is Michaela Garcia. I have a penis. I just like to throw that
That's
out there.
I'm
I like to
really
let people
happy
know
for
right
you.
away because you don't want to like start talking to them and they start crushing on you and then they find out you have a
Wait,
penis.
Mika,
So,
you're trans.
Oh, I didn't tell you.
Oh shit.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What
Mika, you know
is
what's
weird is
this?
I'm trans too.
Shut up.
No, I
Wait.
seriously see how see I got the official
Oh,
pin.
wow. You look really good, actually. You can't tell.
Yeah.
I hide it. I push it to the side.
I push it to the side.
The side
Really?
doesn't
I push
hide
mine under.
anything.
Really? I
Yeah.
just go up and do under the belt, you know, like middle school when you're trying to hide your boner.
I just get that fupa and just hover it over
Can you come do the math on the board? No, I can't.
You know what happened to me? Every
Sure.
time I would have to present, I would always think to myself, what's the worst thing that could happen right now? Get an erection. And then before it was my turn, I would always get an erection before I had to go up.
The
But
nerves
luckily it
turned
would
you
usually
on
settle down by
because you
then.
love
But
going up.
Mika
That's right.
loves Mika loves excitement.
You know, when you said present, I just thought of when a cat is in heat, you know?
Oh
That's what they
yeah.
call it.
Oh.
As she's presenting. Oh, you mean
Presenting.
is that like when you pet their backs and their butt goes up like an elevator?
Yeah. They're
Oh,
like,
I mean, I
you can
think it's they go down, they go
enter
really
here.
flat, like a letterbox kind of thing. Like
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
They
they're like
really
they're just
like
like they're like take me,
I'm gonna
take
try
me
that the
daddy.
next time I have a partner around.
Coming up next on the Discovery Channel.
Mika
How's my mic,
present.
ladies? I sound okay?
Yeah.
I don't need to turn it up or anything.
Nope.
Mika presents. Mika presenting.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Girl Dad Girls. I'm your host, Bree Saint Marie. We have Michaela Garcia, that cutesy panty bee, and joining us this evening is Lucy Isle. Howdy, howdy,
Hi,
hello.
Lucy. How do?
Howdy.
I'll say, ooh.
Howdy.
Oh.
Now, Lucy, we did a little pre-interview before we started recording. I have to ask, you talk with an accent. Is that real or are you faking it?
It depends which one. This one's real. All the other ones are fake.
Can you do other accents?
Oh, yeah. Oh, like what? Oh, yeah, I can.
Can you do an American accent?
Yeah.
Yeah, whereabouts do you want? Do you want
like New York? Do New York.
Do Boston.
Yeah, I don't know why I have to go a little bit growly like this. Hey, I'm talking to you. What's the big idea?
Nice.
And this is why I'm having my voice surgically removed, because there's no way in hell I'm voice training out of the Brooklyn habit.
Danny, when you move to New York, you're gonna have to start talking like that.
Honestly, when I was in Brooklyn, I did kind of like, there was somebody who almost walked into me and I was gonna be like, I'm walking here, but I was like, oh wow, actually would have said it like that. What?
They actually say that?
No. I almost said it to somebody. Oh. And I was like, oh, I see the allure of saying that. I'm walking here. Hey.
Oh, look at you doing it all politely. Oh, hey. I'm just walking
Excuse me. I'm walking here. And then we have the Virginia polite. We say, bless your heart. And that means fuck you in Virginia.
Yeah, that's an insult, right?
Bless your heart.
Well, bless your heart.
Bless your heart. You must be one of them dummies.
My ex-wife's new husband is very religious. I'm going to say bless your heart to him from now on.
Do it. Say, well, bless your heart. Say, my friend from Virginia says that means fuck you. So, Lucy, tell us about yourself. What makes you you?
I'm mainly really stupid.
Aww.
That's my, but in a good way, not like I'm not talking. Yeah, silly, stupid. Like, I mess around. I like making people laugh. That's my aim mainly. It's probably a trauma response. Who knows?
I mean, you're amazing at it. So, how long have you been transitioning?
About 2.5 years now.
Oh, really? Oh wow!
Another one.
Yeah, we got another one
on the show.
Oh my goodness!
It's, you know, we are 20 for 20. Having trans girls on the show, it's crazy.
Wow,
with those odds, you know, I like those are better than like take this to Vegas, y'all.
I know, right? Put it all on green.
We are not friends with any cis people, apparently.
We have one coming in May.
Oh, for reals? Okay.
Yeah, we got an actual. Bandangled cis woman coming on.
Is she part of the
sissy?
Is she part of the alphabet mafia, at least?
Maybe the SpaghettiOs mafia.
If a bunch of cis people started,
what's the mafia thing? What's the alphabet mafia?
Oh, it's the LGBTQ, LMNOPQRSTUV. There's so many letters, people just say alphabet mafia.
I mean, what's the mafia?
I don't want to get snuffed. No, I don't think she is part of the alphabet mafia. TBH.
So, a straight cis woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, not even an ally or anything.
We might implode. I don't know. We'll find out.
It's like, what are we even going to talk about? It's like, so what is your transit? Wait. What's your transition team? Nope.
Dang, we should just interview her, like if she is trans the whole time, and just see how that goes.
Yeah. Like, how long have you been transitioning? It's like, well, I'm not.
How big's your dangle?
Yeah. Wait, that vagina came stock?
Yeah, comes fitted as standard. Absolutely gorgeous. So, do you want to sign? Sign on the dotted line. got a down payment today.
Lucy, I do want to ask, I've noticed that on your Instagram page, real quick, will you tell people what your Instagram is so people, our listeners can go follow you?
Yeah, it's Lucy Isle, LuciEisle.
Awesome. Yeah. And I noticed that you have a fun little segment you like to do called Only Vans. Can you tell us about that? And like for the people who haven't
Only Vans?
Only Van.
Only Van. Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, like, actually, that's a something people ask a lot. Like, what's the difference between a van and a pickup truck? But you have vans, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's like a pickup truck, but closed. Like
little Mercedes Sprinters.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just got a little one. You can fit three people in the front and not a lot in the back. And I just started doing comedy riffing in the front and filmed myself. And this like horrific Van Man character came out. And that seems to be all people want now. It's a curse. I can never get rid of the van. That's me for life.
It's, see, I'm the opposite. I can fit three people in the back, but none in the front.
Hop on in.
You know, when I was buying,
so you're like an El Camino.
That's right. I was buying a car down in Texas, and I really wanted to see if my drums would fit. But I didn't want to tell the guy that I wanted to fit drums back there, so I kind of asked the sales guy, I was like, "How many bodies can I fit in the back of this car?" And he didn't know, so he actually got in and laid down and just kept rolling over and counting up how many he thought it could fit. And I think he got to like 8. And before I was like, I don't think I want this car. But it could fit.
I forget that you play the drums, Danny. I got to see this someday.
I do. I play drums. I had to get all frequently asked questions tattooed on my body. It's like, where are you from? Virginia. Ever lived anywhere else? Texas. Austin.
Yeah. Before long, you're going to look like Memento.
Do you have any children? I do. Elliot Noel. Oh, crap. I'm probably not supposed to say her name on my
head. Are you rebel scum?
I am. You know, honestly, I was about to get this. I was actually going to get all of them removed. And then I started getting a lot of like positive feedback on this one. Like, I love that thing on your tit. Like, cool.
Were they looking at the tattoo?
Placement, would it?
I love your tit tat. Like,
oh, it's like, hey, look at my balls right here. Look at my balls.
Oh, you got a tit tattoo.
Yeah, it's very close. A tattoo.
Wait, what is that of?
Have you ever seen the cartoon Aeon Flux?
Yeah. I'm aware of it.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was like an old MTV cartoon, and it was a little bit weird, a little bit kinky. Maybe it's for after hours.
They made a movie too, right?
Yeah, I don't.
But it was horrific, if I remember.
Yeah,
with Black Widow, right?
Or somebody else?
Oh, shit. Good question.
I can't remember.
No, you're thinking Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell was also terrible.
Yeah.
I just watched.
So, Lucy, where are you from? Where's the accent from?
I don't. It's just an English one. It's just a sort of generic English one.
I speak English. I don't sound like that.
Yeah, you don't.
I was going to say Wisconsin.
My partner's from Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
No shit.
Yeah. They live with me in this country for some reason.
You know,
why do I always guess things that are right? I don't know.
I live in Norfolk. It's a very backwards little part of the country.
We live in Norfolk here.
Yeah. You've got a lot of new things. Like, we've got York. You've got New York.
Yeah.
We've got Hampshire. Have you got New Hampshire? Is that a thing?
We do. Yeah.
You got all the... We don't have an Orleans, I don't think.
Do you have a Mexico?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, we have... Norfolk is here in Virginia. It's over here. This is the most useful fucking map, because they're like, where's D.C.? What's up here? Where do you live? Here. Have you ever lived anywhere else? Well, here, 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 and here. And here. I got all the good parts.
Where's Florida?
Florida is over here.
Mm-hmm. You love the straight lines on state lines, don't you? Like, everything's like,
yeah,
this is our half.
Uh-huh.
Right down the middle.
Yeah, this is the dividing line. Like, Virginia and North Carolina are like just always competing as to who can be the more relevant of the nobody cares states. So
yeah, exactly. And coincidentally enough, two of us live in those states.
Not much longer, though. I'm moving to New York. So,
wow.
Lucy, you'll have to come over and visit. Yeah.
In New York.
And we can go
get right in.
And we can go get bagels, and we can get called Daniel and Luke, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Do they use the word bros?
Say what?
Do they use the word broad in New York?
Broad? Like
broad street?
Like, God, you mighty fine looking broad.
You're a good looking bird there.
Yeah.
And if you go visit, you get to say the word hot dog.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the broad with a hot dog.
Yeah. Look, she's eating a hot dog too.
Yeah. So what's it like being trans over in Norfolk? Is it like I could only assume that Europe is more accepting than the States right now, or is it less accepting?
The UK is slipping down the rankings of LGBTQ friendly places to live. In the last 10 years, it's gone from, well, it used to be number one for a long time. And then I think about 15 years ago, it started slipping, and now it's maybe like 20th or something.
Really?
It's getting worse, yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, the city I live in is really liberal, very queer friendly. So we've got a nice little pocket of safety. It's a good place to live. And Norfolk in general is kind of okay from my experience, but obviously there's exceptions. If you go to rural parts or the smaller towns, then it might be a bit harder. But yeah, Norwich, the city I live in, is really cool.
That's good. Cool. I mean,
yeah.
Now, when you say 12 to 20, what's number one?
I think it could be Malta.
Really?
Yeah, I think it might be Malta.
That would make sense, because they're teeny tiny.
Oh, no, Malta is, I think, really high up on the trans list. I think if you go, like, Norway and Denmark, they're a couple of the really good places. They're, like,
really?
Top two. Yeah, the Scandi places are, like...
I heard New Zealand was way up there, too. Like, they were taking in a bunch of refugees that were trans or had trans family members.
Yeah. I'm only talking from Europe. Like, I've got a friend who lives in Cape Town in South Africa, and apparently that was one of the first places in the world to pass legislation that actually protects people against homophobic discrimination. So that was an eye-opener. I didn't really consider that. Yeah.
Wow. That's
I don't know.
Amazing.
That's like...
I would not have thought, wow. Yeah, it's so weird over here. It's like, it's so hot and cold. It's like, you know, here in Virginia, it's okay, but we're kind of slipping a little bit, but like you go a little bit south and no good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I have not been harassed yet. Knock on wood. Not been harassed yet, but it's also
I'm from Southern California. And I haven't had any real issues either.
Well, yeah, but you're also smoking hot. I think people are like, yeah, I'd hit that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's all right then.
Yeah.
As long as we're just being harassed, then it's fine.
Isn't that how it always goes though? Is like We had a friend, Rachel, who was on, who was like, she said one of the best things she ever heard from like somebody on the right wing was like, they saw a picture of her and they're like, well, at least this one's trying. And it's like, oh.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it's kind of one of those things of like, I think, especially like conservative guys, they're like, if they see a trans person, but they think the trans person's attractive, they're at least like, well, you know, I'd give me a couple beers and I'd still hit it. It's like
story of my life.
Bud Lights.
give me a couple Bud Lights and some Fireball.
God,
Fireball. What are you drinking over there, Lucy?
This is amaretto. Have you had that? It's like an almondy. Do you know marzipan? Like
yes.
The flavor of marzipan. Tastes like marzipan. It's the least hard drink ever. I love it.
Yeah, oh, nice.
There's another one over here called Almondiac. It's kind of the same. But it's like almond cognac.
Oh, not like yak, like a...
Yeah, not like that fuzzy cow, no.
Almond comes straight almond from the teat of the almond yak. Yeah. Mm.
It's like Bailey's, but better.
Give me
some of that American cream. Sorry.
In the way of food, I have a question. This is going to be a dumb question, Amnesty, so you can't make fun of me for... What is Vegemite?
That's Australian.
I don't know. You asked the wrong question, girl. It's Marmite.
I've heard people on like over in the UK eat Vegemite sandwiches.
I think that's Australia.
That's Australia.
Is that Australia? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
That's
yeah,
one of the great long battles, Marmite, Vegemite.
What is, I don't know what either one of those are.
I'm probably going to upset some people the way I answer this question, but basically the same. The Marmite fans will be like, it's not Vegemite. And the Vegemite fans will be like, it's not Marmite. But they taste different, but it's all the same.
Yeah.
But whenever I see people try it, you'll often get brands trying to do like some social media stunt. And they'll get some celebrity to try Marmite and get their reaction. And it'll be to get they want the hate reaction. But what they'll do is they'll take some bread that's not been toasted. They won't put anything else on it. And they'll put Marmite on like that thick.
Oh,
which
God.
If you have it, it's just salty and it's just like so savory. Nobody would eat it like that.
Yeah.
But they'll do it and they'll be like, oh, this is horrible. How can the wretched souls in England without their running water and electricity eat this stuff? Like,
tastes like from their chamber pots.
Eating their brown gruel
and their beans on toast.
What is Marmite?
Back off, beans on toast.
I'll show myself out. Sorry.
So is Marmite good in small doses?
Yeah, and it goes well with things like you can stir it into pasta. I'm gonna upset some Italians now. it enhances a lot of stuff. You can make a glaze on like chicken or tofu or whatever you like. Mm. It's good.
I've had them both. Yeah. I love them both. I do like toast, butter, Vegemite, thin spreads.
Good girl. Good girl. You know what's good for you. That's fan man. That's
yes, ma'am. That's...
So, what has inspired you to do all? Like, I've seen that you have like the granny. Where do you get your inspiration for these characters?
Oh, that's a really good question. The
Nana, bloody Nana,
that's the one.
And her grandson Nobby.
I love that one.
Oh, I love Nana. She's a good girl, Nana.
She's like a mix. She's like, honestly, she has characteristics of my mum, of my grandma, and I actually invented her living in a caravan. I lived in a static caravan for a year, and it was secondhand, and the person who sold it to me, it was like his mum had cared for it like for 20 years. It was really, really old, but really well looked after, and everything just had this like sense that an old lady had lived in it. And so I started calling it like Nana's Caravan. And then I just make up stories about the Nana who lived in there. And it just like snowballed into this like imagined person who is sort of I'm bringing to life now through writing. So yeah, she's fun.
That's Nana. Awesome.
So you mean caravan like a gypsy caravan?
Like you know when you, it's probably closer to like a trailer. What you call a trailer maybe? Oh, like yeah.
Like
they could move technically, but you wouldn't really move them.
You know what I mean? Oh, a mobile home.
That's the one.
But it's there not so mobile. Yeah. It's like you could
park it, you put some siding around it, and nobody knows the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Does Nana still keep sport food around for Nobby?
All the bloody time, that boy is mad about the football food. Like, yeah.
I've actually named, like, the entire... I'm writing a comedy play with her and Nobby at the center of it.
Yeah,
and it's called Football Crumpets. It's all about the stupid sport food. Well, it's not really about it. It's actually a trans acceptance story, really. But,
Wait, what's a crumpet?
Yeah, she does.
What's a bloody crumpet?
It's hard to describe. It's like, you know, American pancakes, like, well, obviously.
Have you heard of these things called American bloody pancakes?
They're kind of like thick crepes, right?
Yeah, except then they're not sweet.
Oh, no, I meant pancakes. Pancakes
They're a bit like the pancake, but they're like thicker. And you'd have them with Marmite, actually, quite often.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
And it comes with purple.
You toast them. I don't really know what they are, actually. I'll be honest. I just eat them and I don't question it.
The only thing I know for sure is that there's regular crumpets and then there's football crumpets.
Yeah, football crumpets is completely made up. Like, to give you some context, every time there's a sporting event, this manufacturer of these crumpets will just slap like footballs all over it.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You know, every time a sport thing is on. And
when you say football, you're talking about a soccer ball, right?
Soccer, yeah. Soccer, so, right? You know, if there was an American adaptation, it would probably be called like soccer pancakes or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Soccer cakes.
Soccer s'mores.
So in the vein of food, is there anything that we eat pretty regularly here in the US that you just think is disgusting? Like, you know how like in some countries they'll like eat horse or something, and it's just kind of like, to us Americans, we're like, that's nuts.
Yeah, I've got something. Hershey's chocolate.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Wait, why?
Because it's not real at all.
It's got something in it that just tastes like vomit.
Really?
Hershey's chocolate?
Yeah. The jizz.
Do you like Cadbury?
Oh, I have a story for you for after hours, actually, on that note.
Okay, oh, I hear it now.
If it involves say the word jizz and that reminds me. I have a story for you.
You want to hear it now?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
Is this really going to be my foray into Girl Dad Girls, like, with this story?
Yes.
Okay.
We're ready.
So for Christmas, right, before Christmas, me and my partner go to the shop. We go to the supermarket to get, you know, some treats, get some cheese, get some like fancy meats and stuff. Just, you know, splash out, have a little board to enjoy. Kind of thing. Oh, look, there's a Spanish sausage. That looks good. It's called fuet. It's like a kind of chorizo kind of thing. Lovely. Let's get that. Get it home. And we're like, oh, it's Christmas Eve. Whatever. Let's dig into the snacks. Let's enjoy ourselves. We've worked hard. You know, it's cold outside. It's dark. Let's enjoy some food just to lift our spirits, right? We open up the sausage and I'm like, this smells really weird. Hand it to Sai. Give him a little sniff. I'm like, does it remind you of anything? It just smelled exactly like cum.
It was a... And
I was like, it's called cum sausage. It's called cum sausage. And it went in the fridge. I was like, I don't think I can eat that. And I was telling my friends about it. I was like, look, there's this, have you ever had this sausage called fuet before? No, never had it. Well, it smells of cum. And they were like, I don't believe you. I was like, you know what? Next time I see you, I'm bringing it round and you can give it a sniff. So the next time I saw them was New Year's Eve. And they're like, oh, have you brought anything? Yeah, I brought a couple of bottles of Prosecco. And I'm like, and also.
The cum sausage.
I had just a little bit left. And so I saw in the new year, handing around the cum sausage for everyone to sniff. And nobody wanted to eat it because they all agreed it smells exactly like sperm.
Wait, you had a little bit left? Like you ate some?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course I ate it. Where's not want, not love.
What did it taste like?
Come.
Okay.
It's apparently the mold that grows on the outside. It's an edible mold, and you can cut the outside of it off, fine. But it's so hard to remove that even if you wanted to get rid of it, you really can't get rid of all of it. So you just have to sort of
grin and bear it.
Just suck it up.
Might as well have all of it then. Yeah.
Might as well take it straight to the face.
That'd be quite the lineup. So over here,
I won't be ordering that again next year.
Some blood sausage. And right next door, we have cum sausage.
Yeah. Anyway.
We have these trees here that everybody, they're nicknamed the cum trees, but they have these little bitty, like, little berries that fall. Then they get all over the ground. And when they get smashed, they stink like cum. And people, like, we went running and didn't realize that they were just, I mean, it was all over the path. And so you got 20, 30 people running and everybody's just stepping on them. Like, and we got back and everybody smelled like we just had a giant orgy and everybody was just covered.
Like, Jesus Christ, who got bakakied?
we went in and we just fucking aerated the brewery that we were running from. And it was just like, well, hopefully y'all didn't want to have customers because this whole place smells like a sex dungeon.
This is like nature's revenge. Yeah, like
it is.
Just to not to kill all the humans, but to just make life really unpleasant. Like
you know what? It's like that movie, was it The Happening, where like the trees started like getting people to kill themselves? It's kind of like that, but they're just like, you know what? No, we're just going to piss them off. We're going to make them all... I think they all just had sex with each other.
The one with the one with Marky Mark.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, where like is that The Happening, where like the trees were giving off? I'm sorry, I'm ruined. Spoiler. also, Bruce Willis was dead in the end. by the way, actually, do you know what the movies The Sixth Sense and Titanic have in common?
What?
I see dead people.
People. That's really good.
Thank you.
That's not bad.
Bravo.
Not bad at all.
Thank you. Okay, so I do that one. When I was practicing my voice more, I used to try to practice my voice by telling dad jokes because it never really worked though.
I like your chick voice. Sounds really good.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, thank. Oh my god.
Hello, me.
Oh my god.
By the way, I would just love to hear a room full of Breeze just like at a comedy gig or something with that reaction. If everyone just not bad at all. It's a room full of you. Not. It wasn't shit. Well, it certainly wasn't shit.
It was not garbage.
Just a subtle chuckle.
Now, Lucy, you mentioned that you have a partner. Are you talking like a business partner or?
No, they do the business.
I'm going with like a sort of gender non-specific, like girlfriend, basically.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. I don't have a business partner. I used to, but we're divorced now.
So it sounds like everybody's with somebody but me.
I've got my little violin.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, bravo.
How long have you been with your partner?
About 2.5 years. We met just quite early on in my transition. So they've seen the full... transition, I suppose. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
That's all. And super supportive and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they were dating a trans person before me, who was a trans guy. So you know,
oh wow,
just doing the full yo-yo, the full gender yo-yo,
getting that bingo card check
that way.
Yeah, I have a friend here. Well, actually, she's over in California, but she, you know, basically ran the gambit, tried cis guys, tried cis girls, you know, tried trans women, and is now exclusively dating trans men, which is just like that. I feel like that is just really like you're cutting out a lot of people with that. But I don't know. I've heard it's a lot of fun, so may have to give it a shot.
Forgot.
I suppose when people get married to one person, they cut out a lot of people. Like,
I mean,
everyone.
Not all marriages.
That's what I decided I didn't want to be in my marriage anymore. So I was like, you know what? I guess I'll be trans. So
that's how you
the best decision I ever made.
Same here.
So glad I chose this.
Right. It was my ripcord.
Yeah, like, gotta get out of this. No, I'm just kidding.
So were you married before, Lucy?
I was, yeah. I got divorced a couple of months ago. If all went through, all finalized. So yeah, I was married for about 6 years, maybe.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah.
Did that end because of the whole trans thing?
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, same here. Hi.
Did you get called a murderer?
Sorry.
Did you get called a murderer?
No.
Brie and I got called murder. We murdered our wives' husbands.
Oh. I guess I was a murderer in that case.
Well,
stone cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was told I was experimenting selfishly. That was the old father-in-law sending me a little text of his opinion, his very important opinion, TM.
Wait, what did he say?
That I was experimenting selfishly and that I was throwing away everything I'd ever worked for and that I was being really stupid and that...
How could you choose this?
It's like, that's a new one on me. Selfish experimentation.
Mm.
Is that a clinical term?
I did get my
My
ex's friend did lambast me on Facebook Messenger for how selfish I was. Like, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you like you lied to everybody. And it's like, I didn't know it myself until I knew it, but I thought it was a phase. So.
Like early 2000s emo phase.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? Like, I was really into like cargo shorts for a long time, and I was like, maybe being trans is just like that, or like the eyebrow piercing that I've had like 4 times, and I keep getting rid of. But
I don't know. You know.
Yeah. So what? Sometimes I tuck everything, wear a bra, look in the mirror, and go, "Huh? Well." Shame this will never be possible, and then feel really sad for a couple of days. But, you know, who was to know? Who was to fucking know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I used to, one of the things, the story I always tell is, like, back when I was a teenager, I used to always kind of, like, daydream about being in, like, a horrendous car accident where, like, I'm all mangled and everything, and they got to rebuild me from, like, scratch. And I'm able to be, at that point, be like, hey, by the way, are y'all taking inputs on how you rebuild me? Because how about some boobs and a vagina? by the time I started realizing that, like, wishing to be in a horrible car accident probably wasn't. Maybe there was something else wrong. So, turns out. What was your, like, catalyst moment to realize you were trans? Like, was there a single point that you can remember? Or was it sort of like a snowball kind of thing?
Yeah, it was June 2021. I think things were rocky in my relationship at the time anyway. So I don't think coming out as trans was necessarily the cause for the relationship breakdown, but I think it was a big enough sort of like moment where I got to decide how I wanted my life to continue that I think it gave my ex a chance to consider, you know, where her life was going. But I do remember the time, like, I'd basically quit my job at the time. I was at home, I got COVID, and I was ill for a couple of weeks. So I was home alone, she was out all the time. I basically lived on the sofa and played Xbox like 2 weeks straight. I would wake up and sleep on that sofa, and I just felt so, so bad. And I have to say, Reddit and Instagram, I don't know how, I do not know what got me onto researching trans stuff. I have no idea. I think it was a slippery slope from drag to, that's just like, it's just like a dip into the community, I think. Like, inevitably, when you start playing with gender expression, that happens. But yeah, I somehow wound up on Trans Timelines Reddit. Alana's page as well. And I remember seeing pictures of her and being like, oh my God, I had no idea that it was possible for someone to change so dramatically. And I honestly think I had no idea really that trans people existed. Like, I'd met a couple of trans people. But it's just, you know, when it just sort of like, you disregard it for some reason. I really wanted to be, there was a guy called Max years ago. I remember like his transition and really wanted to be his friend, being really curious about the whole thing. I remember when he came out at work and changed his name to Max and like told everyone. Remember thinking, wow, oh, it'd be cool if I could do the same, like in reverse, but oh, imagine how hard that would be. Oh well, and like you put the thought back in the box where you stuffed all your feelings. So yeah, it was that COVID time. It was a lot of introspection, a lot of time to be alone and make decisions for myself. And then I think it got to the end of a 2-week period of like relative isolation, and I was like, for the first time ever, I thought, I'm not happy being a guy. It was too much to say I'm a woman, right? That was like too much of a jump. It sounded crazy. So it was, I'm not happy being a guy. And then went from there. And here we are.
And here we are.
Nice. And how did you come up with the name Lucy?
It's an evolution from my old name. It was just phonetically similar. I went through a middle ground name, which was a bit more like gender neutral whilst I was trying it out. It's really lazy.
I was very lazy with mine too. Mine was Michael Andrew Garcia. Now it's Michaela Andrea Garcia. So very lazy. Just added a couple letters at the end there.
I find that really interesting though. Like, how do you feel hearing your old name?
I've said this before on the podcast. I'm not bothered by it. I had a good life as Michael. I accomplished a lot. I had a family. I had my career. I had a good life as a boy. It wasn't for me. So I changed and made it the way I felt it was supposed to be. But yeah, it doesn't bother me. Not at all.
Yeah. I met somebody with my old name as their name, right? So it's a trans guy who has chosen my dead name, basically. And every time someone called him, I would just twitch, like, just there's something, it's just programmed into me to respond to the old name still. Yeah. And then the relief when I realized nobody was talking to me and being like,
yeah. We had a guy start at my, well, now former company, but his name was David too. And every time in meetings, they'd be like, hey, David, you got this? And I was like, I'd sit there and be like insulted for a second. I'm like, hang on, you just dead name me. Oh, wait, crap. Just kidding. He was kind of confused when he first started, and there were a bunch of tickets already assigned to him. And I was like, uh-oh, because they didn't change the name. But as you can tell, I'm not super embarrassed by mine. I mean, it's wood. It's awesome. I can't get rid of that. So, and I had DHB written on my... To what?
I heard you can get rid of your wood with the right insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lucy, do you have a children?
I don't.
You don't?
I nearly adopted.
Really?
I started the adoption process with my ex, yeah. Oh. So I think had that been easier to get through quicker, it was quite hard during COVID because, like, just restrictions, like, you know, seeing people and being around kids and stuff. I needed to do a lot of like prep. There's a lot of stuff you have to do here, at least to prove your like experience with children. I couldn't get the experience being around them. So yeah, that didn't go through. And I'm kind of grateful because I just think like, especially adopting, bringing a kid in to a family that's just about to fall apart would probably be really difficult. So
yeah.
Yeah, well.
And I did have a greyhound at the time, though.
Oh, wow, really?
I fostered a greyhound for a year. I had to rehome her, sadly. But, like, yeah, that was hard enough. It was hard enough to rehome the dog. So,
yeah.
Well, are you still interested in having kids?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Okay. Yeah, I had to kind of come to terms with not being able to have biological children. Like before transition, and that's probably not an option for me now. So I think, yeah, I still would like kids, but I don't exactly know how. But I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm in my 20s again now, and it feels like too soon almost.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's kind of one of those it's never the right time. Like I'm still not prepared. I have a 2-year-old.
Yeah,
really.
Me too.
Yeah. Of course, you're all girl dads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a dad who's a girl, I don't have a girl.
Yeah.
As a child.
Oh, is that how the girl dad, is it dad to a girl or?
Yeah. Well, so the way it started was there were three of us and we all had young daughters. And so we were girl dads who then became girls. And it's since just become a name. And anybody, apparently the name has driven people away because they're like, I don't want to be associated with somebody calling me dad. I'm like, we're not calling you a dad. If you go on the Mike Smith show, your name doesn't have to be Mike Smith. If you go on the Mike Smith show. Like, you don't have to be obviously we have people who are not girl dads or parents.
Yeah.
So,
I have two kids, two boys. They're 12 and 8, and they still call me dad. And I love it. I love being a dad.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
My 2-year-old comes in and goes, Mama, Dada. And kind of I think she's, because we're in Virginia, of course, it's got to be gender roles. You can see it kind of like working in her head, like, hang on, what is that? Why?
Yeah.
Why does my mom have boobs and a penis?
I actually picked up my daughter from daycare today, and for the first time, she didn't call me BB. I opened the door and she goes, Mama. I was like, Oh.
How'd that make you feel?
If your biological mother heard that, I would be murdered. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Are you just kind of cool? Oh, sorry.
No, I'm so sorry. I was just going to ask Bria a follow up question. So your ex doesn't want your baby calling you mom?
No, she doesn't. She is her biological mother. She earned that right. She birthed her. She grew her. Everything else. So,
well, and that's what I always say. It's like I didn't earn mom. I earned dad by knocking up her mom. But
it's an easy title to get.
Yeah, it was fun. God, I was good at it too. Oh wow, just don't pull out. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Lucy, what tell us about this? This you're doing a movie, or a
not quite,
or what is it that you're doing?
So basically, I don't think I'm quite ready for a Hollywood film yet, but you know we'll get there one day. I'm doing an audio story that is going to be about feature length, probably is. Looking like it's going to run to about 90 minutes, 2 hours. But it's a comedy, kind of a sitcom, kind of a sketch show. It's probably more sitcom, but it's a story set in this caravan that I mentioned. Between Nana, Nobby, Mac Glove, the van man's going to be in it, and a couple of new characters you haven't met yet. And I could read you the synopsis if you like.
Yes.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, please.
Okay.
We're ready.
Right. Meet Nana and her football-mad grandson, Nobby, who live together in a clifftop caravan in the drab holiday village, Funcliff Park. Nobby supports the Blues, who, no matter how much he yells at the TV, never win. Nana just wants a night in with a bottle of beer, a foot rub, and some decent earplugs. That boy's giving her a blooming headache. Nana has a secret that she's kept for over 10 years. Determined to give Nobby a normal childhood, she's done everything she can to keep the secret from her friends and her grandson. No, she's not a murderer, but she could murder a bit of peace and quiet. One day, the clifftop beneath Funcliff Park begins to crumble. Suddenly, Nana's got a proper headache on her hands. The interesting little caravan community is swept up in a media circus, threatening to reveal Nana's shocking secret to the world. A comedy about loss, self-acceptance, chosen family, and loads of football crumpets. It's called football.
That sounds cool.
It's
called
football. That's awesome.
Now I'm ready to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All yeah, right. I'm invested now.
So it's going to be all audio, like an audio book almost?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. If you need any like background extras, let me know. I could do some background noises for you.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Like a car
I could be like
a
person coughing in the back of a diner.
Yeah.
You want a bunch of shitty British accents.
Right. Or you could just be, you could be like the holiday makers. You're having a girls' holiday in this crap English seaside town.
Could you point me in the direction of, how do you say it? The loo?
Hey, why don't y'all restroom? Accept $1? This is $1.
Do y'all say water closet over here?
This is Jesus' money.
There is going to be a media storm around something that happens. And, you know, maybe the international media would be curious. Maybe.
Oh, we'd be reporters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fox News heading down there.
Yes.
These heathens over here having them trans causing the earth to crack open. Damn it.
I mean, it's not far off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Could play a girl version of Anderson Cooper and just be like Andy Cooper.
What's Anderson Cooper like?
He's
He's Silver Fox. He's just very stoic, except for on New Year's Eve. When he gets drunk on New Year's Eve, he goes down to like his little
he giggles like a little girl.
Yeah, he's like
yeah. He and Andy Cohen on New Year's Eve used to do shots and get trashed, and it was it was amazing because this guy who was just so matter of fact, just giggling the hell out of it. It was great. They like threw him in a present, a giant present.
Once Don a Lillard, year, he lets 40. Loose.
He does, yeah. He does. And he doesn't just let loose, it all is let gone.
Yeah. That's what I'm excited about. Like on New Year's Eve, I'm going to go like, because I walked around Times Square and that was bonkers on in New York City. But I'm gonna go be on TV. I'm gonna be a star, y'all. I'm gonna be a star.
Oh my God.
You're my name in lights.
So Lucy, you said you've been transitioning for only a couple of years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what all have you already have done, or what would you like to have done?
I have had facial feminization surgery. That is all.
Oh,
that's the lot. And obviously that the old hormones.
Are you on injections or pills or patches or some other way?
I'm on an estrogen gel.
Gels.
And then a couple of pills I take, like a fairly mild blocker. And yeah, that's it. I take a little extra for my hair, minoxidil.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want? Coming up, any procedures or anything like that? Or are you good with?
Yeah, there is. Mm-hmm. I'm still like jury's out on bottom surgery. I'm incessantly curious about it, and I can't stop thinking about it. But I think I need time before I know. But vocal surgery is something I'm aiming for in October, and that's what this whole project is about. Actually, it's like. That's the next thing on the list.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I'd done a consult for it. The hard part is I feel like it's so hit or miss with the doctors. Like the doctor that I was going to see, it was sort of like he did it kind of like on the side. He was like, you know what, this seems like something I could do, which is like, that's terrifying when that's your mentality. It's like, yeah. It's, you know, I'm just picking up a fiver and just kind of doing vocal surgery on this little trans girl. Oh, she can't speak anymore. Whoops. But yeah, I don't know. I've heard over in Korea, you know, one of those places. Yeah,
that's where I'd like to go.
Yeah, I've heard they're really good over there. Mm-hmm. They like do like a Botox in your vocal cords too, so that they naturally atrophy.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Well, I guess it's not natural, but it atrophies.
So I actually really, really want vocal surgery. My voice used to bother me big time, but my partner has told me that she wants me to keep my voice, and I still wanted it. But then I also asked my kids recently, maybe about a month ago, "How would you feel if Dada had a more traditionally femme voice?" And they're both like, "Oh, I don't think we'd like it. We really like your voice, Dada." And ooh. Because they said that,
aww.
I'm going to keep my voice. Keep it for my boys. They're worth it.
I like mine because I can go really low when I need to. Like when somebody's walking up behind me, and they're like, Excuse me, ma'am. What?
Can I help you?
Is it time for a Mika minute?
Already?
I think so.
Is it? Oh my gosh. It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. It's time for the Mika minute. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
Hi. So on this show, we talk to a lot of trans people and about a lot of trans topics. Boring. So I like to change it up and just ask a couple very personal, not personal questions, but just some random questions just to kind of get to know you and your character on a more personal level. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I got three questions here. Ready?
Okay.
Number one, what animated character do you most relate to and why?
The genie in Aladdin.
Oh, really?
Robin Williams?
Wait, Robin Williams or Will Smith?
I think because he's a massive shapeshifter. Sorry to make it trans, but that's why.
That's okay.
So brought it back.
Yeah, it comes full circle.
Okay, next question. If you only had $5, or what are dollars called over there where you live?
Pounds. Great British pounds.
Pounds. Yeah, does it pounds, equal? Yeah. Is it evenly with American win. Money? Like it's $5.
It does now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you only had £5 on you, what would you make or buy for dinner?
Oh, it would have to be. I do love pasta. I'd probably get pasta, maybe some Mediterranean vegetables, grill them up, some garlic bread, and maybe a tiramisu if that's in the budget. But if not,
you can get all that for £5.
Jeez,
damn,
that's like £5 of food.
Yeah, I think you could just about get that.
That
yeah.
could in America, that would just buy our pasta sauce pretty much.
That yeah,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, you want tiramisu is going to be like $12.
Oh, to be honest, if I'm going to the co-op, it's a rip-off. You'll never get a tiramisu as well. I'm just dreaming. That's a pipe dream. I'm lying to you all.
We're going to go over there with just like $15 and be like, why is it that I got a water and it was $15? What the hell? It's awesome.
Okay, final question. I've asked this question on the podcast before, and this is actually my favorite question that I have asked. So I'm going to repeat it and ask you. You ready?
Okay.
Can you burp on command? And if so, can you demonstrate? Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Well done. Well done.
And that has been the Mika Minute.
The Mika Minute. Yeah, I love Mika Minute is one of my favorites. That's awesome.
That was really fun. I didn't prepare any of that as well. Just the first and the third questions obviously come naturally to me.
Yeah, exactly.
We like to, when we first started the podcast, we were sitting there thinking about like, let's come up with like a script or something. And it's like, that was about 5 minutes of thinking that we were like, we can't get back. And for me, 5 minutes of straight thinking is hard.
I never think it.
I just do.
Yeah. Can I show you something, Danny?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Here we go. Right. Isn't that great?
I was not expecting that.
I wouldn't either. Yeah.
Anyway, that's me in a nutshell.
Hilarious.
Well, I also have a question, and this is my favorite of all of the questions that we get to ask. What is your transition theme song?
I think you know what?
Damn, did I prepare
you? I've got one for you.
Rachel would be so sad.
In Bird Song by Everything Everything.
Okay.
It's a gorgeous song. The song itself is about being the first person on Earth to gain self-awareness. And so it's all about that. It's an imagined, an imagined scenario of like way back when humans first developed self-awareness and a kind of consciousness like that, what a lonely place the world must have been to be like, I'm the only person here who is aware I'm alive and a person. So I think to me, I kind of relate to that. It's like a waking up moment, I think. And I listen to that a lot, especially during like some really lonely times. And it's a gorgeous song and I just love it. So that would be my...
I love it.
That would be my soundtrack.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. I do like to ask for people who have been transitioning for, you know, not too long, but I mean, it sounds like you've been doing it for long enough. Do you have any advice for people who are listening, like new eggs that just cracked? Because we have a lot of those who listen to the podcast. Anything that like helped you get through some of the like the early hurdles, you know, the first couple of months, first year?
Yeah, I think having patience with yourself. At the beginning, it can seem like everything's so far off and you're so desperate for the changes, and it can be really frustrating when hurdles come your way. I actually saw a really interesting graph. This actually happened later on in my transition. It's actually before my facial surgery, but I wish I'd seen it earlier on in the process, where basically it's like there are 5 points. What happens is there's this little curve, right, that does this. And at point number one in the curve, you have uninformed optimism, right? So that's the thing that will make us all take that jump. You're like, life could be so much better if I transitioned, and you haven't experienced any difficulties yet. But it's great. Like, we all do that at the beginning of a project. That's why we make changes in our life, because we're like, okay, life's going to be great. And then you reach point number two on the graph. Things start to dip a little bit, and that's informed pessimism. So you've experienced some difficulties. You've maybe gone to work and told people your name and your pronouns, and maybe they're not being respected, or you're like, will I ever look the way I feel inside? Like, you have some experience of the difficulties you face, right? But you don't know how to deal with them. Then there's like this big bit in the middle called the Valley of Despair. And that's where things can feel like they're plateauing, where the changes aren't happening fast enough. And it's that long old bit. Like, you've maybe seen some rapid changes, but like everything feels stagnant. Like, you'll never get where you want to be. And the thing that people often do is give up at point three. And sometimes that's necessary, because let's say you've been on hormones and you're like, oh, they're not working. I still don't feel right. You get to point three, you stop, and then you realize how much better you actually felt when you were on them, because you suddenly feel awful when you stop. I mean, it's applicable to so many things, but like, if you give up, you go back to step one, you have to go through that whole process again. But if you persevere, you get to a point which is like, the dip comes back up again, right? And you get to a point of informed optimism, where you've experienced how to deal with some of these challenges, you're starting to feel good, and you're feeling good for good reason, right? You know how to solve a lot of the challenges. And then I just need to plug in. Then you get to point five, which is success and fulfillment. And it's like, all the while on this graph, there's this little line of like sort of happiness, right? And you come back out the other side and you get where you want to be. But what really helped me was, when things are really difficult, is looking at that and being like, this is like a model of human behavior that is so well known that they've managed to construct a really accurate graph. And like, this works for like work challenges, right? Or learning a new hobby, or I don't know, making friends. Like, there are so many things it's applicable to. And basically, like, what gave me a lot of comfort is that this is so common. It's something we all go through. It's just going through a period of change. Things will get better if you just see it through and be patient with yourself. And I wish I'd seen this earlier on, because I was so hard on myself. I was expecting things to just be fine overnight, and I wasn't expecting that it will be a roller coaster. These blips will happen, and it will feel terrible when you're in the pit of despair, but just stick it out, because like, good things are coming. It happens to us all. Like, you will get there. So that would be my advice. But yeah, look it up if you can, because it's a really handy little model that just helped me visualize things.
I love it. Thank you. Thanks for that. That's amazing. That's awesome. I'll make sure we put a link to it too in the video. That's beautiful. Well, cool. Bree, you had a question.
Yeah, I have my final question.
So
we've started to ask our guests who would you essentially like to call out or like to see on this show at some point?
Like the ALS bucket challenge.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do I have to just pick one?
No.
No.
Okay. So I think I will pick one, but I just want to know.
Okay.
There's a comedian called Jordan Gray.
Okay.
Who's a trans girl, and she has done an amazing live show called Is It a Bird? All about being trans. And if that doesn't make any sense, in the UK, a bird means a girl as well.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is that a bird? She's really funny, really talented. Her live show is amazing, and I'm sure you'd have a lot of fun chatting to her and get her on before she's going to be really famous. That would be
Okay, nice. Yeah. That sounds good.
Jordan Gray.
Can you drop her a little hint and tell her about us?
Yeah, I absolutely will.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Lucy.
Do y'all want to do final thoughts and then go into do some after hours?
Yeah. Sure. I'll go first. Final thoughts. Lucy, you talk funny, but I'm really into it. Thank you for being here. You've been an amazing guest. You're hilarious. I love all your voices. Hope to have you around again someday.
I would love to come back.
Yeah, you have to move here now.
You better bloody have me back or we'll be having words.
One of our stipulations is everybody has to move to the East Coast now.
Okay.
For coming on the podcast. Go ahead, Bree.
Lucy, I absolutely adore you. I have since I first found you. That little intro monologue you gave us for your project has me really excited about it. I am just on edge waiting for it, and I will be planted and listening to it when it arrives. So get to it.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, mom.
In that same vein, Lucy, ever since I've started seeing your work, I've been nothing but impressed. I mean, it's amazing how you can do your transition but also be so creative and so wonderfully unique, but still such a beautiful person. And hearing about that, your advice for the new trans, that was really great advice. And hopefully people can go and find that image and it will help save some lives maybe. Cause I know I quit after about a month. I got to this despairing quit. Really glad you came on. It's fun to see that, get to know the real you and see that you can be silly or stupid as you put it, but
stupid.
That you can be silly but you can also be very deep and introspective, and it's you do it so well and it's so fluid. So thank you so much for coming on.
It's been really nice to come on the show. Yeah, we can call it the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely flown by. I can't believe that's an hour gone already.
Yeah.
That's why we gotta come back. We got more to cover.
But before we go, where can I buy that cum sausage?
it was the pause between cum and sausage that got me worried.
sausage.
Perfectly normal, don't worry. Just a cum sausage. Fine, nothing weird.
Nothing to see here.
For anyone who wants to give it a sniff and see what you think, it's called Fuet, Fuet, and you can buy it apparently everywhere.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm going to work tomorrow.
I'm gonna send you. I'm gonna send you some Oscar Mayer food, Mika.
Okay. would that just be common hot dog?
Why does it just look like hot dog with something else in there?
There's red sauce. There's yellow sauce. But what's the white sauce?
That's the special sauce.
Chef's special.
Put a little special, little extra oomph in there for you.
Yeah. Worked it out in the walk-in, we did.
Well, awesome. Well, everybody, thanks for coming and listening. This has been an awesome episode. And for everybody who's listening who's not part of the Patreon, the After Hours, we'll see you next week. If you are part of the After Hours, make sure to stick around because we're going to get sexy and naughty and all kinds of randy and just dirty. Come sausagey.
I'm going to rock out with my cock out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Oh, God. And so, Lucy, one more time, how do people find you on the internet? What's your handles and everything?
Lucy Isle. I tried to bag that handle everywhere. So yeah, Lucy Isle, LuciIsle. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, the internet.
Awesome.
Just give me a googs. Nice. Give me a googs.
Yeah. look it up on Bing. Anyways. So anyways, for Girl Dad Girls, I am that QT Danny B.
I'm Michaela Garcia.
I'm Bree St. Marie.
And thank you again to our lovely guest, Lucy. Thanks so much for coming on. And we'll see everybody in the After Hours. All right, bye.
Adios.
This has been a production of Girl Dad Girls Podcast. Check out new episodes every Thursday. If you're interested in knowing more, please email info@girldadgirls.com or find us on Instagram @girldadgirls. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.